Administration, Section 9, Municipal Clerk, in Chapter 14, Building, Section 1, Connection Fee, Service Charges, in the Township of Piscataway, County of Middlesex, State of New Jersey, be it hereby adopted on the first reading, that it be published in the official newspaper, and that a second reading and public hearing be held at 7:30 p.m. prevailing time at the Piscataway Municipal Building, 455 Hoes Lane, Piscataway, New Jersey, on the 24th day of September 2019. Be it further resolved that a copy of this ordinance shall be posted in at least two public places within the township prior to the day of the second reading and final passage, and a copy of this ordinance shall be made available at the office of the township clerk for any interested member of the public.
Do I have a motion?
Second.
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 Please take the roll.
Councilman Buller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Councilman Khan?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lombardi?
Yes.
Councilwoman McCollum?
Yes.
Councilman Shaw?
Yes.
Council President Aaron?
Yes. Item number 8, ordinance on first reading, purchase of block 12502, lot 10.05, and this is a resolution adopting this. Mr. City, please read the ordinance.
Be it resolved by the Township Council of Piscataway Township, New Jersey, that an ordinance entitled Ordinance for the Purchase of Block 12502, Lot 10.05, in the Township of Piscataway, be it hereby adopted on the first reading, that it be published in the official newspaper, and that a second reading and public hearing be held at 7:30 p.m. prevailing time at the Piscataway Municipal Building, 455 Hoes Lane, Piscataway, New Jersey, on the 24th day of September 2019. Be it further resolved that a copy of this ordinance shall be posted in at least two public places within the township prior to the day of the second reading and final passage, and a copy of this ordinance shall be made available at the office of the township clerk for any interested member of the public.
Motion?
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Please take the roll.
Councilman Buller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Councilman Khan?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lombardi?
Yes.
Councilwoman McCollum?
Yes.
Councilman Shaw?
Yes.
Council President Aaron?
Yes. Item number 9, first reading, establish a government private energy aggregation program. Is a resolution adopting this. This is
be resolved by the Township Council of Piscataway Township, New Jersey, that an ordinance entitled Ordinance of the Township of Piscataway, County of Middlesex, State of New Jersey, to establish a government private energy aggregation program in the Township of Piscataway in order to provide electric generation service and supply service for residential customers pursuant to the Government Energy Aggregation Act of 2003, Public Laws 2003, Chapter 24, New Jersey Statutes Annotated 48:3-92 et sec. Being is hereby adopted on the first reading, that it be published in the official newspaper, and that a second reading and public hearing be held at 7:30 p.m. prevailing time at the Piscataway Municipal Building, 455 Hoes Lane, Piscataway, New Jersey, on the 24th day of September 2019. Be it further resolved that a copy of this ordinance shall be posted in at least two public places within the township prior to the day of the second reading and final passage, and a copy of this ordinance shall be made available at the office of the township clerk for any interested member of the public.
Do I have a motion? Second.
Second.
Please take the roll.
Councilman Buller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Councilman Khan?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lombardi?
Yes.
Councilwoman McCollum?
Yes.
Councilman Shaw?
Yes.
Council President Aaron?
Yes. Item passes. Item number 10, consent agenda. For efficiency, items have been consolidated into a consent agenda to be voted on together. The materials of these items are distributed to the council in advance of the meeting. At this time, are there any items that the council would like to remove from the consent agenda to be discussed or voted on separately? Does that have a motion?
Motion.
Second. Steve, could you take the roll?
Councilman Buller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Councilman Khan?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lombardi?
Yes.
Councilwoman McCollum?
Yes.
Councilman Shaw?
Yes.
Council President Aaron?
Yes. I am yes. Item number 11, announcements and comments from officials.
Got it. None of this time, Council President. Thank you.
None of this time,
thank you.
None of this time, thanks.
If I may, Council President, as a reminder, as many of you know, that one of our volunteer firemen, Mike O'Donnell, who was involved with North Stoughton Fire Company for 60 plus years, passed away and was buried today. So we gave a good send-off to Mike, and our condolences goes out to the North Stoughton family. Also, I want to thank again publicly the our emergency services folks for that great stop that they did, all six fire companies and our emergency services folks out there and emergency management up down at Berkshire Apartments. Worked in tandem out there, working with the residents out there to make sure everybody understood what was going on. So they did very professionally out there. And last but not least, we all know tomorrow is 9/11 services, where we had five of our own township residents that were killed in the action.
Council President,
again,
so Mr. Mayor,
Item number 12, open for the public. Please state your name, your address, and know you have 3 minutes in which to speak.
My name is Cora Ellis. I live at 11 Water Street in Piscataway. I think this is about my second or third time I've been here about damaging the back of my property. The last time I was here, I think it was 2 months ago, I was told that Piscataway Township was going to come due to the ditch. They came and they did not do anything. So I called Middlesex County Mosquito permission to come and look at the back of the ditch. And this, they gave me a report. Nothing but it's a bed of mosquitoes back here, and I cannot sit in my backyard. So I would like to know, do I keep coming here fighting for 13 years for them to look at that ditch back there?
Council President, if I may, Public Works came out a year and a half ago. Part of the problem is what we're noticing back there, that some of the homeowners, and I'm not saying you, that are putting their weeds in the back in the drainage swale. So what happens is it ponds up the water instead of flowing. We're going to be out there in the next week or so, ma'am, because we're getting ready to do a pre-construction for the reconstruction of your street. That's going to commence with, I think, the next 2 weeks out there.
I know
at that time when they're out there, they're going to be doing new storm drain piping and everything.
Right, I understand what you're saying, because I had to put a fence up to stop them from throwing this stuff back there. But I was told I couldn't do it. So somebody put my fence down.
Somebody from your immediate neighborhood, it's not anybody coming in from out of the neighborhood, because they have to go chomp through the woods there and get there, and they're throwing all the debris in the sweat. And we've cleaned that out on a couple of occasions, but whoever's doing it is continuing to do it, and that creates a problem. So we're going to clear it out again. So if you see anybody, your neighbors, putting anything that they shouldn't be in there, just please contact us so we can get in touch with them.
Yeah, but it comes down like from, you know, above me. It comes through that brook and it comes down.
Yeah.
And then it starts
the whole area is all interconnected. It ultimately ends out in the Ambrose Building Brook.
Right. Yeah. Right. Okay.
Excuse me, what number on what street are you on? What number?
11 Water Street.
Curtis Grubb, 1750 West 30. I guess I have to go back to last year. This is my last year plea again. These are the parts. I'm calling, and I even talked to the mayor. I even talked to the farmer. They put the mortgage on 9 months to get in there. And I told them, the mortgage is zero. We need more mulch. We'll get to it. Somebody's going to trip. The mulch is over 2.5 inches from the concrete. We'll get it. We're going to send a truck up, and we're going to go get some, then we're going to stockpile it. When? For the holiday. That was a lot. I think I talked to the mayor since then. Talked to the guy since then. We're going to get it. We're going to go get it. We're going to go pick it up ourselves. Today, we still don't have it. What is the problem?
you know, I just, you know, Curtis, come on.
You know, Department of Public Works worked with me. You know that we've been
having a problem getting the material. I mean, that you talk on a regular basis down the Public Works Department. They've been meticulously trying to keep the square of that park out there. We can't help that the contract, it's a state contract for safety service, that certified surface material that has to go in the park. You just can't put any mulch down. You have to have that. It's regulated mulch that goes down there for safety, that's fire retardant. Okay. So we just can't throw anything down.
No, but this is what you're going to go pick that mulch up.
Yes, we are. We're hoping to do that. Every time we turn around, there's something popping up that is a little bit more serious that we got to deal with. As far as why you got the mic there, we're planning on striping the parking lot this Saturday if the weather's good, because we're going to be striping Park Avenue.
Well, the conversation I had with you or either guy was, we're not going to stripe it until we get the mulch in, because that's backwards.
Well, at this point, we're having a problem with getting the striping company.
Okay.
I mean, that's also under state contract. You know, don't forget, there's probably 500 towns that are under the state contract with these vendors, and you know, it's when you get the queue.
Okay, since we're discussing the mulch, I think this is the problem, like I said, we had last year. Last year, if I remember correctly, I bought a sample of the fungus that I think I thought of.
That was already checked out, there's no problem.
Okay, you threw the fungus away, whatever. When was it checked out? I'm just asking a question.
Jim told you that.
Jim said he was going to have it checked.
Been tested? Today, right?
I didn't talk to him. I'm asking you, has it been checked?
No, I
need to go on. I want it on record that it was checked.
There is nothing wrong with Hazelwood Park.
Okay. No. What was the fungus in?
Nothing wrong with the park.
What is the fungus then?
Can I make a recommendation that maybe we call Mr. Grubbs back in?
Councilwoman, Mr. Grubbs is on speed dial with the director, the deputy director, and talks to him on a very regular basis. And you know what? It's at this point that I think we're super picky over stuff. There is more pressing matters, more safety matters.
The same picky stuff is the same picky stuff I go over every year and year in. How is the fungus growing? I asked you to put a barrier on it. You say you don't need none.
Curtis, we follow all DEP regulations out there.
I mean, it is.
Okay, quick question. How is the fungus growing if it's certified mulch?
Part of the problem for all the council members, I noticed the urn of it, that park should have never been built there. It was a park back 40 plus years ago.
Please don't say what you get ready to say. Please don't get say what you're going to say.
No, I'm just telling you, Curtis, what it is that.
Don't want to have
take that park away.
Today would be a bad day.
The park in a drainage area right there, but it was done 40 years ago. Regs have changed now. That would not be permitted now. We put there.
Okay, it's a park now. It's a park now. Okay? It's a park now. Okay? Fix the park. Okay?
Curtis, there is nothing wrong with the park.
Does it look like your park, Columbus Park?
There's nothing wrong with the park. We fundamentally disagree on that issue. There's nothing wrong with the park.
You said, is it Hazel or the third? Hazelwood, you said, it's getting redone. Do you have an idea when you want to redo the street?
We haven't assigned an engineering firm yet. We're planning to do that in this upcoming capital budget.
Hey, Curtis, I don't mean to cut you short, but you're 3 minutes in a row.
Part two.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Ladies first. Good evening, I'm Stacey Berger, 233 Ellis Parkway. I have a couple of questions. Minutes from any of the previous meetings? I asked this question last time.
They're working on the minutes. We just have another staffer that was just hired on.
Okay, so next meeting?
Maybe.
Okay, I'll hold my breath.
If you ever need a recording of the Township Council meetings, the audio is available by our request if you ever need to, until the minutes are done.
Thanks, Rob. Yeah, it's more open transparency thing for people to be able to read them and not have to listen to them. I'm curious about the energy electricity aggregation program ordinance that you're all considering, because there was a lot of discussion last time. Is this in response to that? Can you elaborate? Can anybody elaborate on what is actually in the ordinance? As opposed to, it's sort of frustrating because you like read the name and number, but you don't actually discuss the ordinance and whether you're for it or against it or what it would do for people. So I just think people have a right to know about what you're considering on the 24th of the second reading.
So we've seen your petition. The petition that came in was very specific. Mm-hmm. And the laws of the state, the council would have no choice but to act on that petition exactly as it was written. And that's what we got for the voters. By being so restrictive, you do not allow the town to look at other opportunities that are out there in the energy aggregation. So what we're doing tonight is allowing us to go into a joint venture with the School Education Services Commission that does energy aggregation. They have a company.
Yeah, I'm familiar with my work on energy.
So what we're going to do is, in order for us to be I'll answer a question if I can. Please don't interrupt me so I can answer it so everybody can hear it. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to go into an agreement with the Education Services Commission. We'll bring the consultant in. We need to then get the information on our usage, on our number of residential meters that PSCG has. They will not give the information out until the council takes action on this. So before the council can determine whether it makes any sense at all to do, we need to know what the profile, the use profile is of Piscataway and Piscataway residents. So,
if I can ask the council members, I appreciate the answer. I just want the clock to not be on, because that's not a lot.
You want the question answered, so I'll answer the question. So this will allow us now to do our due diligence and look into whether this is feasible and what our options could possibly be, other than the option of what was specifically on the petition, which didn't allow any opportunity to change any of the parameters. So that's what we're going to be doing beginning tomorrow.
Well, as an attorney, I'm sure you are aware how the Faulkner Act works. You have to submit a petition that's very specific. You can't submit a petition that says, hey, we're interested in doing this, should voters vote on this? So you seem sort of overly fixated on the fact that it's a specific petition, but you can't just put like a generic question on the ballot. So I guess my question.
I didn't draft it.
I wasn't part of the drafting committee. I think it's a good idea for us to be. Are you done?
The same issue.
You want to get down?
So it was very specific. It could have been drafted to allow a little bit more flexibility, which you did.
Well, the council could have weighed in at any point and reached out to Food and Water Watch folks and made suggestions in a very long period of time when they did or didn't do any due diligence. So I'm just sort of curious from the council members, did anybody, and you're all looking at your notes.
Council President, this is not a Q&A in the council.
Okay, so it's okay for you guys to answer questions. It's my 3 minutes. If they don't want to answer it, I'm sure Raj will advise them not to answer it. It's not appropriate. And if they don't want to, they certainly don't have to. But last time I checked, they were all elected without you telling them what to say. So my question to the council is whether or not this is something that you're interested in pursuing in exchange for or in opposition to the ordinance that is going to be voted on November 5th, because you all didn't have a chance to do your due diligence or chose not to. Or
considering we all just voted yes on an ordinance on first reading, that I should answer the question.
Sorry, I can't.
Since it was on for an ordinance on first reading, and I believe everybody voted for it, I want to answer the question that people are for.
So did anybody do any due diligence on that ordinance before you voted on it? Because you spent a lot of time telling us last time about how you couldn't vote on the other ordinance.
The answer is that...
You want to check with Brian first before you answer?
So, it would be a lot easier if you wanted to ask a question. You ask the question without being sarcastic. Then we can give you answers, and the public can hear the answers. I know you like to hear yourself talk and all that, but if you want an answer to the question, then let us answer the question. If you want to talk and make a speech, then we'll just sit back and let you do that, okay? Would you like an answer to the question?
Sure.
Okay. The answer is yes. Everybody did a lot of research put into it, and this is not exactly a new concept in the sense that it's been discussed in general terms since at least last November amongst the mayor and a number of different council people. But in the last, so I wasn't at that particular meeting.
No, I know.
I was actually away, but I mean, I had done research on the issue and was generally pretty familiar with it. I'd read the statute, and I had, I don't know, half a dozen conversations with Raj over the last 2 months or so on the issue, and shared information with other council members. I know that Chanel did a tremendous amount of research and shared that information with us. So I believe we all in the last, well, starting 6 to 9 months ago, but in the last several months, we learned a lot about what we can do and cannot do and the way to do this correctly and the way not to do it correctly. And the objective of this ordinance is to, if we can, because some of it is cost-based, and if you put an ordinance in place that's going to be too expensive, people won't be part of it, and then you don't accomplish anything. So, yes, in a simple answer to your question, we did a lot of research on it. We had different discussions between ourselves. Chanel and I did lots of individual research. The mayor is the one who initially put this idea to our attention, I don't know, 6 or more months ago, because it was something that was discussed at a mayor's conference. So the answer is, it's a complex program, and we're going to hire a consultant, and we're going to attempt to do it correctly. We're going to look into doing it in connection with and collaboration with some other communities around here, because that's probably the best way to do it.
It's been on the books since 2003, and was part of the energy deregulation and electricity competition.
Right, but originally that was... Chrissy
Whitten signed.
But originally the concept was correct. But originally the concept, the legal concept of the statute, and the legislative history of the statute, was not necessarily renewable energy. It was simply to create competition within energy consumption. So it's only in more recent years that renewable energy is available at a cost that makes sense to go ahead and push a program like this. So the statute's original intention was somewhat being used creatively and correctly differently than its original intention. So the answer to your question is, we're going to hire a consultant, and we're going to hopefully go about doing this the correct way.
What's right for our community? Well, I guess the voters will get to decide whether they think that's right for the community or not. For people who accuse me of having a lot to say, it's nice to finally hear you guys say some stuff.
I also say, for those people that keep saying they want fair and open government, to jam an ordinance down people's throats that no one knew anything about in this town is very odd to me.
1,500 people signed the ordinance. We were standing across from you. We stood across from you, councilwoman, at an event, and you, I don't know why you're apologizing.
Not aware of this.
Well, then we'll be.
Jam an ordinance down people's throats.
You have every right. We stood here.
They need to be educated about what we're going to do here and make sure that it's right for our community, not just that we have to go to what everybody else is doing.
Okay. Ooh. You okay? You okay, Ms. Rivers?
David Akins, Campbell's Valley Lane. Nice to see all your smiling faces.
It's great to see you this afternoon at the meeting.
I'm busy. Item number K for Kilo is additional $7,500 is for what department?
So they are our on-call plumber, and the original contract was for $22,000, and we need some more services out of them. We're anticipating for the end of the year, so we're adding $7,500 to bring the total contract to $29,500.
That's for all the plumbing that we do for township buildings, parks and stuff like that. Thank you for the emergency for one park, right?
It's for the administration, public works?
It's for all our public, all the municipal buildings.
What'd you say about parks?
Parks too, right.
The bathrooms, I guess, in the park?
Yes.
For the lock?
Okay. That's all.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
My name is Kostas of D Mills, and I'm at 58 Curtis, Piscataway. Am I to understand that our prosecutor is going to restrict me from picking up trash in my neighborhood? Am I to understand that I cannot trim, rake, leaves, or do anything beyond my residence? What is this? We have a prosecutor accusing me of cutting down a shrub, fining me $300. The judge fined me $300 for cutting shrubs. Is this right?
So, Mr. Gustav, if I...
Can we agree you are asking for volunteers for trash removal? I am doing this for my neighborhood.
If I may, Council President, this has been involved in the courts.
I have a complaint.
Cut down a tree on somebody else's
Not
property.
Not a tree. A judge agreed that it was a shrub.
Mr. Gustav, that's involved with the courts. We're not going to get into it here. This is not the venue.
Right.
A judge and the prosecutor and public have been dealing with this as much as you did. I mean, it is what it is. If you still want to volunteer and help pick up trash around the community, when you do have cleanups periodically, we'd more than likely like you to have it involved.
I have this complaint. May I give it to you?
If I could just advise you to kind of listen to what it is that they told you in the court, because we don't want to misguide you. You know, I know I came out to your house, and I know you
spoke. With all the mess, it's worse. I thank you.
You're welcome.
Chapter 231, PL 1975, specifying the time, date, location, and the extent known. The agenda by posting a copy of the notice on a municipal building, municipal court, and two municipal library bulletin boards, providing a copy to the official newspapers of the township, and by filing a copy in the office of the township clerk, in accordance with the certification by the clerk, which will be entered into the minutes. Mr. Shearer, do you please take the roll?
Councilman Miller?
Here.
Councilman Cahill?
Here.
Councilman Hahn?
Here.
Councilwoman Barton?
Here.
Councilwoman McCollum?
Here.
Councilman Shaw?
Here.
Council President Arnold?
Here. Please stand for five.
To the United States of America, and to the Republic for which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Number 5 ordinance on a second reading, amended Chapter 21, Zoning Section 21-1102, General Parking Schedule, and this is the open to public resolution adopted. Item number 6 ordinance, second reading, amending Chapter 14, Building Section 1.3 fees, Construction Permit Fees, Chapter 2, Administration Section 2-5.9, Municipal Clerk Additional Duties. This is open to public resolution adopting ordinance. Any comments or questions? Item number 7 ordinance on a second reading, purchase of block 12502, lot 10.05. This is open to the public resolution adopting the ordinance. Any comments or questions? Item number 8 ordinance on a second reading, establish a governmental private Energy Aggregation Program. This will be open for the public. Resolution and topic one. Is any comments or questions?
Question on this, the energy aggregate. I think there's a, I think when we talked about it, we have a couple of other supporting resolutions we have to do. We're going to do that after it's adopted.
Yes, we need to find out what our energy profile is in the town. The only way you can do that is some basic sense that we have to have a copy of all the PSEG bills of all the residents right there. The only way that we can get authorization. Allow somebody, a third party, to take a look at that and said it has to be worth a second read. But, you know, there's no guarantee this is going to save the residents money. City of Brunswick, when they did theirs, there's a difference. They have a flat line profile, meaning where there would be a spike warm in the summer of energy. There wasn't because they have a lot of rental properties with college students, which happen to be out. So they're not the atypical right there, and it wasn't an average savings of $100 that was portrayed here. It was only an average savings of $60 because they had a unique profile. I don't know what our profile is going to determine because we're not the city of Brunswick or some of the other communities, but you know, I can't look somebody in the face here, the residents, and tell them they're going to save money. We don't know. And you ultimately aren't going to know unless you go out to bid. When bids come in, because the more parameters you put on energy aggregation, the potential it has for higher cost. That's the reality. So, you know, I think we just continue to go along and see what the energy profile is going to come up with from PSEG.
My question is, I thought we needed to hire.
We have the interlocal with the energy education services, that is. They're
on their
hiring agent on our behalf.
Okay, we do the interlocal educational services. They have a company that does the aggregation for the clean energy.
Right?
Yeah.
So they hire them on our behalf.
Yeah, right. They'll work for educational services and on our behalf. So we've met with them to talk about the process. We're right in there about the process right now.
And based upon our profile, that would determine whether or not we're going to save money for it.
That's correct. And like when Edison went out to do the energy aggregation, there was no savings whatsoever. So they ended up canceling the same the PSEG.
And if I could add, that's, you know, in terms of the residents that I spoke with, that's their biggest concern. They want to make sure that they're saving money and that they're not increasing their bills.
We can't. Basically, until it actually goes out of bid. I can't say whether they're going to save or not.
And also, by partnering up with some of these companies, they will also do the education of our residents to educate them as to what we are going to
correct.
Right, that's at no charge, I saw at the ordinance, which is really good. I think that's important that we start looking at all the ways that we can communicate that to the residents. I do know somebody from another town who said that when their bill changed, they had no idea what was going on.
Okay.
Item number 9, ordinance on first reading supplementing chapter 10, regulations 10.12, open burning fires. This is a resolution and topic. Any comments or questions?
I have a question regarding this one. It does say open burning and fires, and then permitted and prohibited fires. In any way, does this prohibit people to have a fire pit in their yard?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure. Is this through the fire, but this is through the from the hot floor?
Yeah, this is there was some change in the state code for fireworks. So this is matching our ordinance, the state code of
burning. So we're saying this is pertaining to fireworks?
Yeah, a lot of this is fireworks because there was a question because now that the state changed the law on what type of fireworks you can have. Legally, we're now mimicking the state
regulation. Okay.
Item number 10, first reading amended chapter 21 zoning 10.14.3 solar panels with the resolution adopted ordinance. Any comments or questions? Item number 11, resolution authorizing personal recycling garbage cans for the community center, commercial furniture interiors, up to exceed $6,018.40. Any comments or questions? Item number 12, resolution authorizing return of filling village security deposit, Ronald Smith, Department 210, 10. Any comments or questions? Item number 13, resolution authorizing return of escrow fees, lot 5201, lots 8, 13-4, 20.1, 1518 South Washington Avenue, TV Brown LLC, lot 9301, lot 5201, 51 Sutton Lane, Sutton's 2 LLC, lot 5701, lot 703, 1260 Centennial Avenue, Jonathan Properties LLC, lot 8501, lot 4501, 55 New Durham Road, Paramount Realty Services Incorporated, and lot 8501, lot 4501, 55 New Durham Road, and this air, our care is important. Any comments or questions on that?
So, Council President, I don't have a question on that one, but can I just go back to item number 10? This is that okay? Frank, this is regarding the first reading regarding the zoning of the solar panels?
Sure. In a nutshell, this is being recommended by the planning department. What it is it's requiring that if you install solar panels on your roof of your home in the residential district, you can't be more than 12 inches off the roof. And that some systems that we see over time that the piping comes down and some folks are putting the piping in the middle of the front yard. So this would mean that it would have to go in the backyard and it would have to be screened. Meaning, you know, the piping from the solar right there.
It's
an aesthetic.
Yeah.
We have an
ordinance. Now on that. We did it years ago. We're just tweaking what we have.
Thank you.
Item number 14, resolution authorizing return of street opening bottom block 11306, lot 705, 5302 Orchard Street, Rockfish, Daniel Patel. Any comments or questions? Item number 15, resolution authorizing return of irrevocable standby letter of credit to Cashbond block 4901, lot 1032 Stoner Place, Atlantic Corporation. Any comments or questions? Item number 16, resolution authorizing tax appeal state settlement 100 New England Associates LLC, block 4601, lot 201, 100 New England Avenue. Any comments or questions? Item number 17, authorizing grant application, submission, and execution of grant contract with New Jersey DOT for Centennial Avenue road improvements. Any comments or questions?
This is for the grant application. I mean, the engineering plans are finished. We just have some more easements we have to acquire out there in front of the corporations. And we'll see. I'm hoping 2021, maybe.
Have you heard that before?
But we're going to get you.
Yeah, it's going to be a question.
Number 18, resolution adopting section 457 deferred compensation plan. Any comments or questions? Item number 19, motion to accept the reports of the clerk's account August 2019. Comments or questions? Item 20, motion to accept the report of the revenue in August 2019. Any comments or questions? Item number 21, motion to receive and enter into minutes disbursements for the month of August 2019. Any comments or questions? Announcements and comments.
I just wanted to again say that tomorrow is September 11th, and may we never forget.
No additional comments either.
No, thank you. No comments.
When is Hazelwood Park scheduled for the next do-over.
That ain't happening for
Better 15 years.
Okay.
Now, with the question I asked earlier, you said that that soil, not the soil, the mulch was tested by...
It's mulch, but it degrades, naturally degrades over time. All the parks do that. Sometimes it's, if you get some heavy rain, you'll get some fungus in there, but it's natural right there. So,
I'm asking you, what you stated just 10 minutes ago.
I was told by the public works they checked it out and there was no problem back there.
Is there any way possible that we, the public, can get that copy of that saying there's nothing wrong with it?
We're not going to let anybody use the park if there's a problem. That's why we're spending a lot of capital dollars throughout the town to make all of our parks safe. Through, as you know, Curtis.
I know.
Oh, since I'm such a big head the first time.
I'm Stacey Berger, 233 Ellis Parkway. A couple of things. Today is actually National Suicide Awareness and Prevention Day, and I want to thank everybody from the community who came out on Saturday to the library. The Progressive Democrats held a fundraiser. We raised about $1,000, a little over $1,000 for the National Suicide Prevention Organization. The library staff were really fantastic, as were the students and the teachers and community members who came to talk about ways to help our neighbors. So if anybody, I didn't see anything on the website, but if anybody wants to put some resources on the website, the township website, you can certainly, I can share them with anyone who would like to do that or who might want them just for themselves or their family and friends. We also have an event planned for September 21st to do a fundraiser to raise money to support victims of Hurricane Dorian in the Bahamas in particular. I believe it's going to be a yard sale, so anything that people are going to donate and anything that people use to purchase is going to be either print, but I think it's gift cards or a direct cash contribution to the victims fund. So hopefully we'll see some or all of you there. This Saturday will be Kula Tillman and Marlene Woods and I from Lake 3 will be at the Dunkin' Donuts in Ponderville Road to talk to neighbors about issues in our neighborhood. And one thing that has come up from knocking on some of the doors in our community, in our part of Skagway, is the concern about the DPW passes. There's been a lot of chatter both online and around the neighborhood about what folks who work 8 to 5 are going to do to pick those passes up, since they're not going to be available to be mailed. It seems a little strange that we wouldn't have a Saturday pickup or a one night a month pickup, or be able to send a self-addressed stamped envelope the way that the clerk's office is great about mailing out the pet licenses for folks who can't get to the DPW from between 8:30 and 12:30 or 1:40 to 4:30. So I was wondering if there was any consideration that law could get to making sure that people who either can't drive or can't get there during those hours are able to get those passes. That's the question. You don't have to answer, as the mayor pointed out, you're not allowed to be able to answer, but there are a lot of...
You don't have to be snotty about this.
I'm not being snotty.
You are.
I'm not here to pick a fight. I'm here because I represent my neighbors, and that's come up. And every time I ask a question, you tell people they don't have to answer it. So I'm just reiterating what you said before. So my question is to the council, and certainly, Mr. Mayor, you're welcome to answer it. Mr. Casey, feel free to answer it. If there's another way besides people appearing in person, there's also some concern from tenants who evidently the passes will get mailed, or some passes now get mailed to their landlords and they never get them. So is there another opportunity for folks to get that new DPW card that's coming out?
So we've got approximately 60,000 residents in this neighborhood.
Sure.
So approximately 15,000 homes or so to mail to. We did an analysis of our active users of the dump, of leaf bags and all the other services, and we found roughly 3,000 homes. So instead of spending the money to send out 15,000 card, print 15,000 cards, mail 14,000 cards. We decided to do it this way. And if people can't get there, they don't take effect until 2020. So everything's the same for the fall of this year.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to do, we spent a lot of money, they killed a lot of trees, mailing out the coupons. People lost the coupons, people would come here, and they'd be upset because they went to Public Works, and they had to come here to the tax office to buy more coupons, so we're trying to streamline it and make it easier for the residents.
Sure, I understand that. I think the specific question that I have is whether people
can get more on. Yeah, I'm trying to answer your question. So whatever concerns that people have, if we have to amend our hours or something, we'll certainly do that. First stab at it, something that we're trying to do that's environmentally friendly, it's easier for the taxpayers to do, and is using technology, which is something that we haven't used enough of, and we're beginning to use more.
That's commendable, Mr. Casey.
It's going to be a very good system, we believe. If we have to tweak it, we will. The goal is to make sure everybody can use it. Regarding the homeowners, the passes do go to the homeowners, which is the same as our mail today. So if you live in an apartment, in a house, the owner lives in Red Bank, for example.
Or California.
That's where everything is mailed. So
right.
Landlord to be available to their tenants. We don't know who lives in each house. We know who owns each house.
We don't have a tenant registration ordinance like any other.
We have no way to determine who's living in each house, who's being in and out. We have landlord registration. No, who's living in the house at the moment.
Okay, so two suggestions. One would be to have a weekend and a night once a month for people to pick that stuff up. The second would be to do what we do with the dog and cat licenses, that you can mail a self-addressed stamped envelope to the office and have it mailed back to you. There's just some folks who don't have transportation to get here during those hours. And the third would be if people can produce, proof of residency, a utility bill in their name, a driver's license in their name, something other than I own that property, but I live there. Maybe two or three pieces of utility bill, usually does a utility bill, and a driver's license with that address on it, voter registration rolls, and something that shows that they actually occupy that property would be one alternate way that you could provide that resource to people without having to then, for them to have to track down potentially an absentee landlord and maybe get that packet and throws. Those are some of the issues that have come up in our neighborhood. And one other thing that we did really hear from folks about is on River Road, the proposal to change the speed limit. I'm not sure if there's going to be a hearing about that or how that's going to move forward, but there's concern both about the actual increase in car traffic on River Road because all the trucks are off. And that people actually can't make a right or left out of the street that they live on. That's just what we've heard at the door. So I don't have an answer to that. People have asked me, I don't know what the proposal is and how it's going to move forward. So I didn't know if anybody had details. I know Mr. Cox has been working on River Road for a long time. So.
Yeah,
no,
I
live
on
River
Road,
but I tell you in an unscientific way, there's less traffic, but vehicles go faster.
Yeah.
And they did before. We moved the trucks. The objective of lowering the speed limit would be obviously lowering the speed limit.
Is there going to be a hearing, or is there going to be a conversation about that, or is that going to be
done?
Is there a schedule? I guess.
We got to go to the county, but then once the county approves it, what they do an ordinance, it'll be a public hearing.
Okay, thanks.
Again, once very unofficially, we could ask Chris Murray over there, who is actually a longtime resident of on River Road. I think most people want to see the speed limit reduced.
I will say this: I live on River Road. There's less traffic, but it's at the times I don't hear the trucks anymore, so we get Saturdays all of a sudden are nicer, but Carter brings up a good point. I think my husband talked about this too, is that because you don't have the trucks, the lag time it is harder to make a left out there.
Or right. People have, I specifically had two people on Hillside, you know, lower block of Hillside, say that they actually have now, instead of making coming out and making a right, they now come up Beatty. And Beatty is, I don't know if you've taken that road entirely, yeah. But it is like the Indy 500. People come, they have to accelerate to get over that first hump, and then they have to, it's kind of Beatty. So,
it's
more stop signs.
And you know what's a sad thing with the burger? It's usually our own residents that are the ones feeding and doing this. So we have to, you know, it's always a thing where we have to come to terms with. We're criticizing our own residents. I remember School Street, right? The people at School Street, they don't want the speed bumps out there, but yet the students zip through there. So it's trouble. I think probably in my, I mean, I live there, so I'm biased. I would like to have that speed reduced. I think it'll help some, but the car traffic is not going to stop because now without the trucks there, it's a more.
There's more car traffic. Is what I
think. During the day, you're absolutely right.
I bet in town, the car traffic is probably exactly the same. The cars go faster because the trucks slow the truck.
Oh, maybe that's it. You can't get out because there is no lag time, so it feels like more traffic.
People have asked me, and I wanted to know what the process was, so thank you for answering that question.
Thank you. David Aiken, Denver's Valley Lane. Item number 8. I know this is in the early stages, and we've spoken about this briefly. But is there any literature anywhere, regardless of which way it goes, up or down, that people read opposed to having someone come and explain? Because when you have literature and you can read, you'll bring up thoughts that you wouldn't have thought about if someone's here answering questions off the cuff. Is there anywhere so you can obtain literature, so you can read it?
David, there's plenty of literature available on the web. You just have to Google Energy Aggregation New Jersey, and there'll be stories and information.
And David, part of the ordinance, too, and I think a couple of council members mentioned it, is that part of the ordinance that we just voted on tonight talks about the educational component that's not going to cost the township a dollar, right?
Right.
So these people are going to come in, we're going to have public forums, open forums, so that residents can come and learn exactly what that is and what it would mean to them.
The information that's on the internet, is that different when you compare to towns, or all the same?
There's a whole variety of information, but different towns have done things differently, and the statute and the state department that oversees it actually encourages creativity and flexibility in each municipality creating their ordinance so that they can adjust to accomplish two things: as much energy efficiency as possible, the highest buy-in. In other words, you can create a great ordinance that's going to, you know, reduce energy, you know, emissions and all this great stuff, and if the town doesn't buy into it, it achieves nothing. So
it's like a volume discount. The more residents opt in versus opting out, the better a sort of volume discount, if you want. I mean, and that's not to say that every year when the township goes out to bid, that the price isn't going to change. Yet the price is going to change, right? Because the price of energy changes like the wind. So every year, the township will go out to bid, and just like every contract, it will be the lowest bidder.
I mean, there's different. Edison tried to do it and was unsuccessful.
It's
Woodbridge has been doing it and is going to walk away from it because it's been a bad experience. I've spoken to the Woodbridge Township attorney about it. New Brunswick, the mayor loves the program and thinks it's great for New Brunswick. Highland Park, we've spoken to. Highland Park's interested in the program. Am I right about 50 towns in New Jersey maybe have done an energy aggregate? They've done them all differently.
So
that's the point that Tim was making before when he said the ordinance that proposed in the referendum has artificial numbers that were created by somebody who didn't study the town and know what would be the best cost analysis, where you'd get the most buy-in, how much it would cost to do a particular percentage. They're just numbers that somebody, it's a wish list of numbers. It's got to be studied correctly, because when Edison tried to do that, Edison went percentage forward. We're going to say, well, here's the percentage that we're going to achieve. The numbers made no sense, and the town couldn't do it.
So would you be obligated to buy into it?
For the end, you could always get out.
You could always get out.
No, I understand.
You should automatically in.
Initially, everybody.
But that, and that's another thing. Right. Why do you have to automatically be in?
So, to be honest with you, these are some of the questions that I will tell, I went to the residents here in Piscataway, and I asked them, and that's one of the things that they do not like, which is one of the reasons why we did not move forward with that ordinance that was put forth, because they said, one, they wanted us to guarantee that the price would not go up. They wanted to be able to have a voice, and I told them that, you know, there were quite a few people, 1,500 people in the township, and they said, well, that's 1,500, it's not 60,000 or 59,000. But I just want to answer your question, right? So you can go out to New Jersey Clean Energy Program. You can get emails constantly. You can participate in various forums to learn about things. But as Steve stated, it's pretty complicated. I myself have signed up, and you'll get emails almost every day. So I can give you the information after the meeting.
Well, and Councilwoman, so everybody knows here, David has been asking ever since he listened to the group that was here. And I would have to say, he probably, if you had gone and knocked on his door, his concerns, because he, you know, probably one of the planning board meeting maybe after, had talked about the very thing about, you know, I want the information before I'm forced to do anything. And I think that's what the goal is with Carl.
To answer your question, first of all, the Board of Public Utilities is who oversees all of this. So the best place to start, or like the highest view down, if you will, would be to go to the Board of Public Utilities and look for an energy aggregate, and you'll find a lot of information. That's official information that the state of New Jersey has out there. You'll get the ordinance. There's a section that's going to show you all the different towns and so on. So that's the best place to start. But to specifically answer your question, and this gets back to what the mayor said before, is you need to have an energy profile done of the town to understand what you can achieve. Saying you're going to achieve 15% in year one and 25 in year two and 50 in year three, or whatever the numbers are, all sounds terrific. And if it would work, but the reality of it is that the experts at this, and there's limited people that are experts at it, but the experts at this may say, well, instead of 15%, Piscataway's break even number is 13.5, or maybe 17.5. We don't know the answer to that question. The answer to your question, though, everybody is in, because you got to assume everybody's going to be in for a proper analysis. And everybody can opt out, and you can opt out at any time. So let's just say, for example, you're in this energy aggregate for 6 months, and you hate it. You give 30 days notice, so you can give anybody else to change your cable or utilities, and you could opt out. So it's very new, and again, I'll say, I agree, an informal survey of people that you just talked to, a lot of people have a lot of reservations about it because they're uneducated about it, and it's new to them.
Yeah.
I mean, if you tell, you can get 25,000 people to sign a petition. If you say to them, you're going to get cheaper energy and it's going to save the environment, where do I sign? But I mean, getting it done, the devil's in the details. I'm all for it. I think everybody here on the council is all for it. I've been all for it since I first learned about it at the League of Municipalities, spoke to Brian about it almost a year ago. But in fairness, Brian knows more about it than I do. The mayor knows more about it than I do. And the mayor is ultimately the guy who has to run it. And he understands the details. If you don't do it right, you fail. It fails, everybody opts out, or it costs you too much money, and you don't get cheaper energy, you don't get greener energy, you just create a bureaucracy. We're trying to do it correctly. It's not easy. It's very difficult.
And Mr. Higgins, if I could add to what Steve said, our goal here is to educate the people, right, so that they can make an informed decision. That's critical for us, right? We also don't want to increase the amount of money that people have to come out of their pocket.
They won't do it.
Right, because they won't do it. Now, I don't think I would do it. Some people will, right? They're looking, they're saying, you know, we have to be concerned about, you know, the world here. So they're willing to pay that price. But a person on a fixed income may not even have the money to spend that extra $10 or $20 a month, right? They're already cutting their prescriptions in half. So they don't have that extra $100 a year that maybe other people have. So these are some of our concerns. I can tell you that people right now, you can still use PSE&G as your delivery, but you can opt out now if you want to.
Right.
And
right.
So it's not something that you have to wait for the township to do. It's not something that you have to wait for the people who put forth this ordinance to do. I can tell you that there are people who have done it. This one lady in town, her mother lives in Jersey City. She opted into it because, you know, she thought it was in the best interest. And right after that, the cross went up. So, and her mom's on a fixed income, so she thought it was the right thing to do to save her mom money, but only in the long run to wind up paying more money. So these are some of the things that we're hoping to do, is to educate the people so that they can make an informed decision and we can ultimately do what's right for the residents, as Steve stated. In other towns, they, you know, like Edison, they didn't feel like they could, you know, save the township residents money. So they said, well, we won't do it. That still doesn't stop the individual resident from opting in if they choose to.
It's a very delicate balance between doing what's right for everyone and doing what's also right for our environment.
Just to throw one statistic out at you, PSE&G right now, trying to get the numbers correctly, about 3% of their energy is renewable. And shockingly, I think 24%, if I remember the number correctly, of PSE&G's energy comes from coal.
Great.
Hard to believe.
That's great.
Okay, thank you, Councilor.
Thank you,
Dave. Kind of like using a metal straw, but still drinking out of a plastic water bottle.
Right.
Well, I can say this: when we tried to mandate people off of well water in areas of town, this goes back 15 years ago, where the water had a history of contamination. There was a Superfund site across the border in Middlesex. People didn't want to do it. So, you know, this won't work if you don't have significant percentage of people buying into it. It won't work. The cost will go up, and you won't achieve it.
Well, it was a very good conversation. That's all I'll say. Thank you.
Have a motion?
Council President, if I may. I think the numbers came from the petition from a Las Vegas car dealer. Right there.
Car.
Yeah.
Car.
I mean, when they came up with the numbers, but more importantly is, I'm glad Mrs. Burgers having her meeting down at Dunkin' Donuts there, because after all, for those folks that live in the Heights area, remember that was an abandoned old People's National Bank down there, which had run down for years.
Right, it was a nail salon for a little
That's
bit.
Right.
It was a nail salon.
And so, you know, it's been reinvented, that area, through working with the businesses locally, and then also the delicatessen too now, which is a home improvement area down there. So that little business niche section of this Gateway is reducing.
Maybe we should do some like streetscaping right on the corner, you know?
That'd be nice.
But either way, but I remember that there were some folks that were against the Dunkin' Donuts.
Well, I can't
remember.
Not me,
I'm from Boston.
And
I love
Dunkin' Donuts. What's the call? Still doing pretty good over there. Our quick check friends. Yeah. They're still doing well. You hope that Dunkin' Donuts.
It's usually pretty busy here.
Well, I thought the donuts
need. All right. We have a motion to adjourn.
Thank you.
Have a second. All in favor?